All right, my name is Dan Oberg, and I'm the director of St. Andrew's House, which is the retreat center down the road, owned by the Episcopal Church. So, you know, I got asked to come here kind of last minute, but that's good because, you know, I don't want to think too hard about this. To me, it was almost like, oh, good, I don't have to really come up with some masterpiece. I'm just going to have a fun with you guys. It'll be great. Okay, so thanks for letting me be here. I appreciate it. Our scripture today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 27, kind of a long one, but I didn't want to cut this one up because it's such an awesome, awesome verse. And I do this one from the Voice translation, so I'll read it for you. Well, let me pray first. Thank you, Lord, for a chance just to be with these great people and just a chance to look into your word and see what you might have to say. I ask that you kind of get past me and say to people what you need to say to all of us and help me not get in the way of that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, just as a body is one whole, made up of many different parts, and all the different parts comprise the one body, so it is with the anointed one. We are all ceremonially washed through baptism together into one body by one Spirit. No matter our heritage, Jew or Greek, insider or outsider, no matter our status, oppressed or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Here's what I mean. The body is not made of one large part, but of many different parts. Would it seem right for the foot to cry, I'm not a hand, so I shouldn't be part of this body? Even if it did, it wouldn't be any less joined to the body. And what about an ear? If the ear started to whine, I'm not an eye, I shouldn't be attached to this body. And all it's pouting, it is still part of the body. I know about pouting. Imagine if the entire body was one eye. How could a giant eye be able to hear? If the entire body were an ear, how would the ear be able to smell? This is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He's placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function that he wants. If all members are a single part, where would the body be? So now, many members function within one body. The eye cannot wail at the hand. The eye cannot wail at the hand, I have no need for you. Nor could the head bellow to the feet, I will not go more one more step with you. It is actually the opposite. The members who seem to have the weaker functions are necessary to keep the body moving. The body parts that seem less important, we treat as some of the most valuable. And those unfit, untamed, unpresentable members, we treat with even greater modesty. That's something that the more presentable members don't need. But God designed the body in such a way that greater significance is given to the seemingly insignificant part. That way there should be no division. Instead, all the parts mutually depend on and care for one another. If one part is suffering, then all members suffer alongside it. If one member is honored, then all the members celebrate alongside it. You are the body of the anointed, the liberating king. Each and every one of you is a vital member. Amen. So I serve in the business of hospitality, and I call hospitality love of the daily grind. Because basically what you're doing in hospitality is just doing the basic daily stuff that helps people to celebrate their time there. You're doing the dishes. You're doing the laundry. You're cooking the meals. You're cleaning up after people. It's not very glamorous. But you know what? Nobody seems to notice it unless you don't do it. If you don't do it, then people notice it. It's kind of like being a mom. Yay, moms. But it is with moms. With moms, the same thing with my mom. You don't notice it until she stops doing it. And then all of a sudden, it's all hell breaks loose, right? So like moms, we just kind of are there for the daily kind of tough stuff. It's the most sacred of things, actually. I believe it's the most sacred work that the Lord values more than anything else. Based on what Paul's saying, it's very true. Those things that seem less important actually are the most important. Those tasks that seem to be the less glamorous and get the less attention are probably the most important at all. Some of us like all the attention, though. Look at me. I'm standing up here at front. But what I'm doing today is way less important than what you do for the body of Christ up here today. I'm just kind of mouthing, talking, hoping to think about something, helping you to think of a new way of looking at things. But the truth is, what you folks do day in, day out for each other is what makes the body work. That's true for the pastor, too. It doesn't say that she's not a great preacher, because she is. But honestly, what Pastor Jamie does for you day in and day out is more important than her preaching. And it may not be that you notice it or know it, but that daily stuff, the daily prayer, the daily visiting, the daily taking care of things is really what holds the body together. We appreciate the sermons and the messages. We appreciate the worship team and what they do. But their daily stuff, the practice beforehand, the prayer beforehand, that's the stuff that really makes it work. for sure. And that's the beautiful thing about God's body. It's fantastic. Sometimes we celebrate some parts of the body more than others, and we have to kind of really work on that. Sometimes we give too much glory to certain aspects of the body, and we really need to focus on how can we celebrate the people that don't get noticed and don't get celebrated, because God sees them as the more important parts, as the scripture said. One of my favorite books of all time is The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. If you folks are familiar with that book, I know it's old, goes back a long time, but I love that book. It's basically a fantasy about a man who's in the outskirts of hell, and he gets a bus ride from the outskirts of hell to the foothills of heaven. He gets a chance to go on a magic bus to the foothills of heaven. And at the foothills of heaven, he gets to encounter all these angels coming down and trying to convince the people on the bus to stay and go farther into heaven. But for all these various reasons, they don't want to stay. They're too connected to their work or their wealth or anything else they want to hold on to. They all want to resist going into the deeper parts of heaven. And this particular person, the author, encounters his spirit, and he asks lots of questions about what heaven is like versus what hell is like. And as he explores this, and as they're talking about this, all of a sudden there's a commotion in the foothills of heaven. They see this big parade coming down the valley. All these people and spirits all celebrating and raising their flags and worshiping and praising and enjoying themselves and just kind of putting a big celebration on. And this is what he says. First came the bright spirits, not spirits of men, but they danced and scattered flowers effortlessly, lightly drifting flowers, though by the standards of each ghost, each petal would have weighed 100 weight, and their fall would have come down like crashing boulders. On the left and the right, each side of the forest, came youthful shapes, boys in one hand, girls in the other. I could remember their singing. I wish I could write down the notes. No man who'd ever read that score or read those music would ever get sick or old. Between them were musicians, and after that, there was a lady, the lady who they are honoring. I can't remember if she was naked or clothed. If she were naked, it must have been almost visible of her courtesy and joy that shined out of her. If she were clothed, then the illusion was that it was all part of her body. Her inmost self was what she wore. For clothes in that country were not a disguise. Our spiritual body lives among the threads and turns them into living organs. A robe and a crown is just as much part of your body as a lip or an eye. But only partly do I remember the unbearable beauty of her face. And so I said to my guardian angel, "Is this?" He said, "No. It's someone you've never heard of." "Well, she seems to be someone of importance, this big parade." "Yes, she's one of the great ones. You've not heard of her, but in this country, her fame is extended through generations." "Who are the young women and men on each side?" "Well, those are her sons and daughters." "Well, she must have had a large family." He said, "No, every young man or boy that met her became a son. Every girl became a daughter." "Is that bitter hard on her own family?" He said, "No, there are those that steal children, but this is one who adds to children, who makes them love their own mothers and the fathers even more." "What about all these animals skirting around that around her feet? There are cats and there are dogs and there's birds and there's horses. Did she keep a zoo? This seems a bit too much." And he said, "Every beast and bird that came near to her had a place in her heart. Out of the abundance of her life in Christ, she treated them as he would treat them. It's like when you throw a stone into a pool and there's waves that spread on every direction. Who knows where we'll end? Redeemed humanity is still young. It's hardly in its full strength. But there's already enough joy in the little finger of a great saint such as her as to bring all the dead things to life." This is just a simple woman. Not famous, not known. And yet in heaven, she's rejoiced because she loves the way the Lord loves. This is how heaven sees women like that. And I pray that we would have eyes to see each other in that kind of same way. That we would see the value of people beyond what is obvious to us. And getting those eyes and ears is hard to do. It takes a lot of prayer and faithfulness and study. But fortunately for you, I found in a garage sale some magic glasses. I know, and they're cool, aren't they? So when I put these glasses on, I will see everything that God sees. No kidding. You ready? It's a little scary. Okay. And they look good. First off, I want to tell you how good looking you guys all are. Now, I know you're good looking before, but now you really are good looking through these glasses. You guys look amazing. Some of you look really joyful and happy. Some of you look very peaceful and full of love. But I see something else, too. Some of you are carrying very heavy burdens. Some of you are very isolated. Some of you are very alone. Some of you are going through lots of grief and trouble. Some of you have conflict, even with one another. Some of you are just hurting inside. I see that too. Some of you are giants of the faith. Some of you are just learning the faith, like babes. There's babes and there's elder people. They don't necessarily match the way you look on the outside here. This is how God sees things. Some of you are valued by Him in special ways. Not more than others, just in special ways. Each one of you has such a unique gift to this community and this body that you cannot be replaced by anybody else. You are that unique. No one else can do what you do. No one else can be who you are. Now that's a pretty cool piece of glasses. I know that some of you might want to pay to use these. I might let you use them later, but it is kind of dangerous what you might see, so be careful. Take this one easy for sure. But honestly, truthfully, you don't need magic glasses to see how God sees. You just need to know who God is. And as you get to know Him more and more and more, you'll be able to see what He sees and hear what He hears. It'll become more natural to you. And through prayer, hopefully the veil that we all have will start to pull away, and you'll start to notice people's eternal value and their eternal significance outside of their bodies, outside of what they look like or what they're saying to you or how they're appearing to you in the surface. You'll begin to see them as God sees them. And as you see them as God sees them, you'll both see their need and their huge value and gift to the community. So there's something I want you to do. Let's take a little chance here. I want you to think for a minute about someone in this congregation who blesses you in ways that are kind of unnoticed. Who blesses you particularly that you've noticed that maybe isn't up front, it's not worship team, it's not pastor, maybe it's somebody who does small things for you, or you noticed as small things for the church. I want you to think of that person for a minute. Just think of someone in your mind that you would say, this person does some very important things that are not very noticeable. Doesn't get a lot of accolades or notice for it. Can you think of someone? Now I'm going to ask you to do something else. I have give you two choices. Choice number one is, in a minute you're going to get up and find that person and tell them. Choice number two, if you can't do that or don't want to do that, I want you to pray for them. So if you want to really take a risk and they're in this room, I'm going to have you stand up and just go and find them and sit down and talk to them and tell them. Okay? Let's go. Kind of milling around, getting back and so forth. Okay, hope you prayed for that person or said something to that person. I'm going to invite you to do one other thing too, and that you may not want to do this, but if you want to, I feel the urging to do so. Does somebody want to publicly stand up and give a testimony about someone? Well, I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to invite, as the worship team comes up again, I'm going to invite people to come up and have prayer here personally if you'd like. So I'll stay up here and be willing to pray with you. If you want to pray for someone else or if you have a need of your own, we'd be happy to do that. So let us say a prayer. Lord, we thank You that You're a God that is so just that You care about the inside more than the outside. You care about those who do the toil and the daily stuff, the daily grind stuff that we oftentimes forget, and how much that glue holds us together. Just pray that You help us to learn to celebrate each other and to see each other in the way You see us so we can really love and appreciate one another the best. In Christ's name, amen.